The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
Kansas for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into Radio Memphis Around the World with me, D. It's Rhythm in the Spirit off their album Prelude Implicit. And of course, you know, they are on tour and they rage on. In fact, tonight, October 7th, they're in Sioux City, Iowa as part of the Leftoverture 40th Anniversary Tour in the Orpheum Theater. You guys have an opportunity. Awesome deal. They are on tour all through the end of the year. They're going to be all over the place here in the States. So make sure you guys catch up. You want to know more? KansasBand.com. Come and it'll tell you everything you need to know right there. All right. Now, as I was promising you guys, you heard earlier, and of course, you guys have seen some stuff on social media. It is a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series alert right now. And this is where we get to bring more insight to the table for all of our emerging artists and entertainers by actually sitting down with some of the best industry pros that work behind the scenes, you guys. And of course, I want to thank everybody that tuned in this past Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, started this month, the Radio Memphis load in. And of course, that's where we get to pull some of the people back in and we get to do roundtables, we get to do conversations, we get to have a lot of fun. It was a very, very huge success, big success. Everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, we'd be getting a lot of great responses from that. And so you guys be looking forward to it, you know, once a month at the first Thursday of the month, live Thursday right here, radio-memphis.com. We're going to be from, you know, 10 to midnight. We're having a lot of fun with that. So you guys make sure you stay tuned for that. But back to the business at hand, we're actually going to be sitting down and talking with an individual who, and I can't wait to tell you this, man, because this is a total first for me, and in the spirit of pirate radio, this is fantastic. I got a phone call coming in from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, by a gentleman by the name of Chris Carlton. Now, as an audio engineer specializing in front of the house mix for concerts, special events, and live television broadcasts, he's the owner and president of Carlton Audio Services, where they provide clients with creative and cost-effective solutions to their sound and production needs for entertainment venues as well as corporate events, you know, and things like that. Now, with audio design and being a technical director and production manager, Chris has helped make some pretty cool moments happen and come to life for a multitude of special events. Now, he's done stuff, you know, as like being the current audio designer and vendor for the Grandstand Concert Series for Magic City Casinos in Miami, Florida. He's been the audio engineer, front of the house mixer for the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Games opening and closing ceremonies. He's done the sound design and been the house mixer for Univision Network from 2001 to 2005. He's been the house mixer for the 2001 VH1 Fashion Awards. He's also worked with a ton of corporate clients, you know, to help their productions and help their events, you know, go off without a hitch, including people like Adidas, Avacare, Avia, Travelers Insurance. He's done stuff with Bacardi, Coors, National Instruments, Nike, Nissan, Procter & Gamble, Sony Music, BMG Records, Disney, EMI Records. Now that we're kind of getting back into some of the music world here, what you may not know about Chris Carlton is that not only does he specialize in the audio design for some incredible special events, he's been part of some amazing concerts and artist careers. Okay, think Lionel Richie, Liza Minnelli, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bon Jovi, Aretha Franklin, Seal, Tanya Tucker, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, Julio Iglesias, and the lovely Miss Barbara Streisand. Now, I can continue to go on, but what I need to do is that I have Chris Carlton on the phone with me right now. How are you doing, Chris?
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. And I was just introducing everybody to you and kind of giving a little background. And I want to thank you for taking time because you're someplace. This is a first for me. And you have pulled all the stops out. You have done it with total class in the spirit of pirate radio. Can you tell everybody where you're at right now?
Well, I'm out on Biscayne Bay. And we just got back to our mooring so that I could do this without too much interruption here. we were just out sailing this morning and enjoying a fantastic day down here. Winds are like 13 knots out of the southeast, and of course, Columbus Day Regatta is going on, and everybody's just having a lot of fun. just trying to chill out for a couple of days before we get back to the grind.
I understand, you know, and I have to love you for it, man. You're actually calling me from a boat. So this right here has made this interview just that much more special.
I figured pirate radio, I got to be on a boat. You know?
You got to be on a boat. And so you're the first one, man. So you can actually take the flag and throw it down. You've got it. It's yours. Love it. Love it. Honey, I want to thank you again. And as you know, we've got to chat, you know, for a little bit here and there, you know, before we got to do this. And you know that this is actually part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series. Of course, it's brought to you by Kembar Films. And what we're doing is that, you know, we're taking this opportunity, you know, to talk to some incredible people that are behind the scenes of some incredible moments and incredible events and learning about them and learning about you and learning about what you've done and where you've been and how you got there. And, you know, it's funny because I just went off your resume of all the crazy cool things that you've done, and it's like, okay, where am I going to start? And I'm just going to tell you right now, one of the things I want to know is that at what point, and I don't care if you tell me it's when you were 5 years old, at what point did you know that this was going to be your world?
Wow.
Yeah.
When my friends in the band told me that I sucked at lighting.
What? What? Oh, they're gonna kick you out of the band? Is that what this was?
Yeah, you know, so they just said, you know, you're just a sound guy, and they're right. You know, I mean, I started when I was very young, as a hobbyist, 13 years old and whatnot, building speaker enclosures and designing loudspeakers and all that kind of thing, and had a lot of fun with it, and, you know, got a patent and lost a lot of money on it, and you know, so anyway, hit the road with a band and ended up down here in South Florida, and you know, one thing led to another, and I've just been enjoying life down here, and had a lot of wonderful people help me out, and you know, just cover my back, and you know, it's been a good ride.
Wow. Well, see, that's really cool, and I'm glad you told me that. There was a lot of stuff in that middle part. Come on, Chris. Dude, there's a lot of stuff in the middle, man, that you kind of like just not skip. You leaped over on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, being down here in South Florida, I was starting this back in the late 70s. There weren't a lot of people doing audio back then, and you know, the equipment was very large and not very efficient, and so the rock band that I was with split up, and they sold the sound system to a Latin band who had no idea what to do with the system. So they hired this gringo to come in and run the sound for them.
Okay.
Who had no idea what they were singing or doing and anything about it, but it was a big culture shock for me, but it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
And a huge learning curve, learning some Spanish and trying to figure out the dance moves down here. I never have conquered that. It's way over me. I'm, you know, I'm a white guy from Detroit. I can't handle it, you know. It's not in me. Sorry.
No, it's okay. At least you're honest.
But anyway, so, I mean, being down here in South Florida, the Latin music scene was huge.
I got you.
You know, one thing led to another, and ended up hooking up with Julio Iglesias back in 1981.
Wow.
And I ran with him for 11 years, and that took me all around the world. I met some great crew members and, you know, wonderful guys. Dan Stevenson's one of them. One of my favorite production managers in the world.
Yes.
We've seen some sights. We've done gigs in places where you shouldn't have done gigs.
Wow.
You know, because Mr. Iglesias was that kind of guy, and you know, we played Ephesus, St. Paul preached to the Ephesians, and you know, they fed the lions there, the Christians to the lions, whatever. You know, it's been a lot of cool places.
Wow.
But you know, of course, we've done, you know, the arena tours and the shed tours, and yeah, Hold on 1 second for me. I've got a tender coming my way.
Oh, no. Okay. For those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Chris Carlton as part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series. And, you know, we're doing an interview with him, and he is actually calling me, you know, calling me from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's calling me from a boat. And so he's as we're doing this interview, which is fantastic, he's maneuvering around, you know, some instances and stuff like right now. So we're gonna give him a minute, you know, in order to... There he is.
We had a lot of down boats around here, and so it's been sad, and I've been just totally fortunate, not a scratch on my boat during this Hurricane Irma that came through and tore up so many. I think the Coconut Grove Sailing Club down here lost 11 boats, four of which are totally gone, just not even, and they can't find them at all. So I don't know if the pirates took them or what happened.
Wow.
They're not accounted for. You know, 50 people have gone too. So it's been a sad thing. But everybody's recovering down here and trying to enjoy it.
Right. Trying to
what we can with the folks at Rubicon, to Team Rubicon, to assist them in all the things that they're doing there.
I got you.
I know this organization, but they are, it's ex-vets and the veterans, and it helps them recover post-traumatic stress, and also gives them a purpose. They're helping people in Houston, in Florida, and down in Puerto Rico as well. So we're doing what we can to support their cause, just so that get that in there.
Absolutely. Not at all. Not as this is what we're here for. Are you kidding? You know, and I'm glad that you guys are doing some, you know, some things like that. You know, and it was a very, very, you know, a crazy occurrence, you know, and of course, you know, that kinda hit a little home, you know, for a lot of people. So good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you're doing that, Chris. Good for you. Now, the deal with you and your deal with Julio Iglesias. So that 11 years is that the part that really kind of formed you and formed your career for you?
Yeah, you're sort of breaking up on me.
That's okay. Can you hear me now? I said the 11 years that you were with Julio, is that what really formed your career?
It definitely took it from, you know, the local concert support scene, where we're working with all the bands that are coming through here and doing the club scene down here, to the national stage and the international stage. The first gig that I did with them was, you know, 4 weeks straight over in Paris at the Palais des Congrès Theater. And, you know, how can I refuse that at the ripe age of 24, you know?
No, you can't.
A lot of fun.
You can't, you know. So you wind up, you know, doing the, you know, doing so many amazing events as far as, and with Julio, and again him taking you all over the world. You know, I'm going through some of the stuff that you've been able to be a part of, and you wind up, you know, not only do you do stuff with Julio, you wind up actually, you know, being part of some incredible concerts, you know, like people with Styx. You've done stuff with Lionel Richie, Liza and stuff, and of course very specifically, you know, Barbara Streisand. You know, that was kind of a big thing.
Yeah, she's a wonderful artist.
Yeah, so, you know,
it's true art there. I enjoy it every time we go out. Unfortunately, it's not often enough. It's, you know, she doesn't want to go out and do concerts that often, but when she does, it's usually for her foundation, and, you know, she's got a lot of good causes that she supports, and you know, all political feelings aside, I think she's doing really positive things all around.
Of course.
And, the whole wing of, I think one of the wings of the hospital in Los Angeles was named after her. She funded it for women's heart care.
Right, right.
So, you know, to be a small part of that, it's, you know, definitely makes it wonderful, you know.
It does, and I have to, you know, and again, and I say this every time I talk to, you know, I talk to people, Chris, is that, you know, I spend some time, obviously I stalk and I try to find out information. What I did find out about you is that, you know, ultimately in her career, you know, in 93, you know, she had not been out, you know, in a very long time, and so she had decided to build pretty much, you know, kind of what they called the Audio Dream Team, and, you know, and of course, you know, at that particular time, you know, there was, you know, several individuals that that were responsible for building audio engineers, you know, around her and around making an event very, very comfortable, you know, and very inviting, and where she was comfortable because of her not necessarily doing concerts so much, you know. She's kind of got a thing about that. You yourself, you know, was reached out to, you know, in order to be part of that, and it was actually kind of a very special moment because, you know, Bruce Jackson, you know, God rest him, had reached out to you as one of the main ones right on the front end to help build that idea around her. And, you know, how did that moment make you feel at that time when they knew that you were being reached to do this?
Of course, joyful. Of course, grateful. Bruce was such a wonderful guy, and the two of us just communicated very easily, so it was very easy for us to work together.
Right.
He was responsible for bringing me into Barbara's camp. He was also responsible for putting me behind the driver's seat at the Olympics. He came in and would prefer to have more of a consultant type relationship with a lot of programs.
Right.
And give me the ball and let me run with it, so to speak. The first outing in 1994 didn't work out for me to join that. But he did call me back in 2000 when she went out again for the Millennia concert. And the two of us did. I think we had a great time with that. And eventually, of course, I had to take it over after he passed in his airplane crash.
Yes. Yes.
He was just a wonderful man to work with and taught me a lot. So, great mentor.
It is, and I'm glad that you mentioned him as being actual mentor and stuff, because, you know, that says a lot, for stuff like that. In the middle of all of this, though, you know, you're doing also, you know, corporate gigs, you're doing some other things. You know, how is it that you fall in the middle of, the Olympics, you know, the Vancouver Olympics? How do you get that gig? I mean, what were you doing?
Well, like I said, it was Bruce Jackson had worked with these folks, this production team is David Atkins, out of Sydney, and he did the Olympics with them in Sydney, I think it was in 2000, and at the time he handed the Barbara events in Madison Square Garden and Staples Center off to me to run with that while he did the Olympics, and then when David Atkins was presented the contract to do the Olympics once again in Vancouver, Bruce Jackson was, of course, called for that, and he got me on board with that right away.
Wow.
He had a lot of obligations with Dolby at the time, so he wasn't able to be there full-time, and he needed somebody that would give it full attention, and had a wonderful time with that. I mean, it was just a huge show, and pretty much nonstop for about 4 hours, and it was... had a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was. And, you know, and for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Chris Carlton, part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series brought to you by Radio Memphis and Ken Barr Films. Now, look, so, you know, and going back and forth, you know, one of the things that you and I actually got to talk about was that the different things that you get to jump into, the expanse, okay, of, you know, whether it's a corporate gig, you know, whether you're working with an artist in their concert, you know, in their tour, whether you're working on, you know, bringing some you know, audio, you know, design and stuff, you know, to a particular, you know, to a particular event. Do you feel like that, you know, you have a certain place, you know, like there's a certain thing that you're completely in love with, and then everything else just kind of came around? Is there the one thing that you are absolutely known for?
Gee.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because you do. I mean, because let me, you do. Look, you do.
I just
you do.
Try to be consistent. All right. Whatever it is I'm into, if I say yes, I'm going to jump into it, you know.
Well, see,
and stay and do it until it's as good as I can make it. You know, so I would just hope that, you know, consistency would be, something that people trust about me to make happen for them, you know.
No. You're being...
We've done a few things, but, you know, I'm not a great inventor like Bruce Jackson was, you know, with the Dolby-like processors or anything like that.
Yep.
Just a working guy who gets out there and tries to make it sound good and consistent every night. So.
Well, you know, look, you say you're just a working guy. I have to thank that band for kicking you out of it, because you wound up doing some pretty cool stuff, you know, and being part of some major events. And you also deal with product. You also deal, you know, deal with specific consoles, you know, and stuff with Avid, you know, and things like that. That takes a certain mindset, and that takes a particular ear. So you had to you had to understand something about music.
Yeah. I mean, it was just about, you know, combining music training with electronic training and, you know, basic understanding of physics and, you know, working with it and really just, you know, just staying at it. Just being as, like I said, consistent as possible for everybody, you know, and keeping the balance between the art and the science of it, I think is important. You know, a lot of people get too tied up with, you know, what the screen looks like, what the latest plugin is or whatever, you know, and you know, keep in mind, you know, keep it musical, keep it simple, and, you know, but at the same time, there's so much great technology out there, and it just keeps evolving, and, you know, the folks at Digico and the folks at Avid and D&B Audio Technique and Claire Brothers, and they're all bringing so many good products out, that you just have to stay modest and stay open to it, you know.
Right. Now, when you, like I said, yeah, I know you're very into as far as, you know, front of the house, you know, as far as, you know, live concert series, you know, along with, you know, all the live events and along with the events that you do for corporate gigs and stuff. Now, are you also part of, you know, being in the recording studio for some artists? You know, is that something that falls in your wheelhouse?
I've done a few recordings, but mostly what I've done is taken tracks that we have done live and mixed on these tracks for different artists, and that, because of course I, you know, mixed the show for an entire tour or whatever.
Sure.
And was able to wrap my head around it real quick, and but you know, being in the studio was a road that didn't quite open up to me, which is, you know, it was something that I was looking into when I first moved down to South Florida, because Criteria Studios and, you know, Coconut Grove and everything, it was all pretty happening back there in the late 70s or the 80s. But, you know, the live thing is what opened up for me, and so I went with it. Tried to get as good at it as I could.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and that definitely makes sense. You know, when you're talking about, Chris, when you're talking about live events and corporate events, you know, versus concerts and stuff, what's the big difference for you? Okay.
You know, there's a lot of differences between the corporate events and the live music events. I mean, you know, when you're working for an artist, the pecking order is different with each artist, but some artists have made audio their number one priority, and you know, Julio was one of them. It was like, you know, it had to be a certain way for him. And he didn't care what the lighting was doing or what the video was doing. You know, I mean, all that's important. And he would take a look at it. But if the audio wasn't right, we heard about it all night long.
Bingo.
You know, but hopefully that was, you know, our batting average was good enough on that to keep us in the game. So.
Well, I would say, yeah. Are you kidding? You're so sweet about it. it was more than enough. Trust me, you know, trust me on that. And I just, you know, I just wonder, because again, you know, with all the different, you know, the different things that you're able to do, you know, and all the different, you know, products and stuff that you're kind of able to, you know, kind of step into, for your mindset, you know, versus, okay, you're busting out something for Nike and you're helping them brand, you know, ultimately by being part of this event and providing, you know, the design and sound, you know, and things like that, you know, and what the difference is for you versus, you know, you're working with an artist and their music specifically for that artist, you know, and it, what kind of headspace does that put you in?
I'm having a little bit of difficulty. I'm not sure if your phone is breaking up or my line is breaking up. I think I'm going to call the tender and get ashore here.
Okay.
Maybe the reception will be better.
Not a problem.
What I think you said was, you know, what is the main difference that I'm finding between working for the corporate event, and the and the artist per se.
Yes. That would be correct.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting perspective. And the doing corporate events, CEO and the meeting planners and everybody want things a certain way. And, you know, like I was trying to get around to, the, you know, for them, a lot of times the video is the most important thing that happens to them. You know, they don't want to see any loudspeakers. Doesn't matter if people, you know, you have to get a little bit more creative on hiding loudspeakers to, you know, make sure everybody can see the video screen.
Sure.
And, you know, they really just don't want to see the hardware. Whereas with an artist, you know, they walk in to see the big PA and they feel good about it. As long as you're not blocking sight lines for everybody to see the artist, you know, the video screen is secondary. So that's some of the biggest differences that I see is that, you know, in reality, when you're doing a corporate event or a TV event, a lot of times the audio is, you know, the third on the rung, so to speak. Whereas you're working for the artist, you know, if the sound's not right, they're going to get very upset about it, you know.
Right.
They usually don't get that upset about the video or the lighting being off, but, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, the audio has to be right for all the events. And, you know, events like the Olympics are something in between. Either you've got a large musical component there, but it's a big TV show, but yet it's, you know, you just have to, you've got people talking on headset microphones. It's quite a theatrical production there. So it's sort of combines all of it. It's great.
I get it. I totally get it. Can you say that there was any moment in your life that was probably your most favorite being an engineer? Is there one favorite event for you?
If I pinpoint one, there's another one that comes up, and you know, it's really about there's just moments that are the first time we did, you know, the stadium in Barcelona for 80,000 people and back when I was that young, to do that event, it was a big rush for me to work with somebody like Stevie Ray Vaughan and I hear what he was playing, and it was just, you know, even though it's smaller venue, smaller scale production, it was just phenomenal, and it was just, you know, looking back on it, of course, it's even more special.
Yeah.
You know, some of the moments with Barbara where she just hit it, you know. She just hits it as an artist. And you can't just, you know, you got chills. You're just feeling it. And, you know, there's too many to count. There's not one in particular that I can say is the defining moment, the best moment. There's been so many of them. I'm so grateful for it. And it's just, it makes very long hours and the difficulty with, you know, family and everything, it softens the blow, makes it worthwhile.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Do you have anything that you're still aspiring to accomplish right now?
Big question. I'm really, at this point, I'm trying to provide employment for more people.
Good
and,
for you.
And just, you know, it's not so much growing my company as it is helping out a lot of other guys that are, you know, young guys in the industry that are worthwhile and definitely want to see them get ahead and you know, I'm trying to get folks that I know that were in San Juan down in Puerto Rico and get them up here and see what we can do with them. I'm just lining up a few jobs and keeping things going and hopefully getting along.
That is perfect.
Getting more folks employed. So I'm going to step off the boat here, and I'm going to get on a launch. So it might get a little bit louder.
Okay. I thank you for taking me with you while you do this.
Yes, I am. Taking you with me. We're getting on the launch. We're going ashore.
Okay.
And
this is great. I love this.
I wish I could show you this day in your studio there.
I know.
Maybe I should FaceTime this for you.
What you need to do is you need to snap a picture, and then you need to text it to me.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. Still stepping off? What are we doing?
I'm sorry, say again, please.
I said, we're still stepping off, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, we're now on a launch, and we're going to be going ashore, and I think the reception will be a little bit better there.
Okay.
Yeah, so well, it might be a little noisy now. There might be a little wind noise in my microphone.
That's okay. Wow, it is noisy. And what other radio station is going to take you through this whole moment, right?
Well, I can't hear you. Maybe you better cut to a song.
Not a problem. I'm going to cut to a song. Don't go anywhere, Chris. Okay, for those of you that have tuned in, I am in the middle of a very crazy, cool, and fun, and weird Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series interview with Chris Carlton, who has just gotten off a boat, okay? So what we're going to do is that we're going to play a song for you guys, and when we get done with the song, of course, we're going to do a little Auburn Road Tough Girl right here in Radio Memphis, and when we come back, you know, we'll see if we've gotten into a place where we can hear him a little bit better. So you guys, hold tight with me. That's Auburn Road for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in Radio Memphis Around the World with me, Dee. We're in the middle of a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series interview brought to you by Kenbar Films and Radio Memphis. And I believe that Mr. Chris Carlton is in a place where we can actually hear him now. How are you doing, honey?
I'm doing great.
God, you sound so much better. Hey, how are you, baby?
Doing good. We're approaching the shore, and I'll be able to make sure that I have good contact there.
No, you sound fantastic right now. That's good. Yeah, I was it's funny you were talking about, I was telling you some of the things that you were aspiring to do, and you were talking about, you know, actually making more jobs and more things available to people in the industry. That's a big thing. That's a big statement for you, you know, and I appreciate that you do that.
Well, it's important, you know. It's what else is there? Pass the knowledge on and do what you can for the next generation coming up. And there's a little event that I do down here called the Miami-Dade County Fair.
Okay.
That I generally hire about 18 interns every March.
Oh, nice.
And they come in, and I've got five different stages. Some are bigger, some are smaller. But we try to, you know, give them some hands-on experience. We've had students from University of Miami, from Florida International University, and from Miami-Dade College that are in their music engineering classes and theater classes. And it gives them a great start, good taste, and some of them learn right away that they're not interested in doing this stuff for a living. And some of them have gone on to do phenomenal things in the industry. I've got a couple of guys and a couple of girls that have graduated from University of Miami and spent a couple of years with me at the fair, and just, you know, gone on to do amazing things and probably would have done it without me. But I like to feel like I've helped them along a little bit, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that, try to do that to give back to the community.
No, that's perfect.
We all have fun too.
That is absolutely perfect. When you get these kids in and you get these people in, you know, what's the first thing you tell them?
Sorry, you dropped out on me for just a second.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if all the cell coverage is back up the way that it should be down here in South Florida. Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you fine, honey.
Okay, good.
I can hear you fine. I was saying that when these kids come, you know, they start working with you, you know, when they first sit down with you, Chris, what's the first thing you tell them? What's the first thing you tell them about this business? Yeah, don't lie.
You ready for some long hours? there's some advice, and a lot of it is just, you know, doled out slowly so that they're not overwhelmed with it. You know, and I think that, you know, the first thing that I tell them is that it's, you know, it's all about just sticking with us, you know, and being punctual.
Right.
Helps.
Right.
Yeah, just being prepared for long days and hopefully some fun mixed in with it. Gotta enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, then you're in the wrong place. You know?
There it
so
is.
So we figure out if you're going to enjoy it, and then the long days are short days after that.
There it is. You pretty much made the statement. You know, I know that you're in a crazy place right now, and you know, and everything with us being trying to go back and forth, and you being on the boat. You know, you've been such a trooper, honey, and I want to thank you for taking some time out. But I, Chris, you have to promise me something. What we're going to do, you know, and can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, you're going to promise me something. You know, I was telling you last night that we do that Radio Memphis load-in show, which is a live two-hour show once a month, you know, on the station, okay? You have to promise me that you're going to come back and be part of that show so that we would sit down and we could, I want to, you know, because I want to be able to climb into your head, you know, about some of the stuff and some of the events and some of the things that you did and some of the stuff that you put together and, you know, and some of the concerts and, you know, and maybe some of the people. And there might, you know, there might even be one or two other individuals, you know, that you want to pull in on that conversation so we can round table it, because you've done so much. You've worked with so many people. You work with so many companies, and you continually are trying to do things to give back. And you know, and that's very important with this business, because you're showing everybody that there's a place for you in the music industry. You know what I mean? And in the entertainment industry. And you know, and people like you are very important to me. And so I want to spend some more time with you.
Great.
How about that?
I'm flattered.
Well, I'm flattered that you took time to call me from a boat.
Well, you know, I was trying to make it back in time, so it wasn't going to be quite so hectic. But, you know, the breezes were so good going out that I just kept going. And when it came time to come back, we tried to get back. But anyway.
You know what?
You're just a couple minutes late. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. You are exactly where you're supposed to be right in this time and this moment in life. Trust me. You know, because I got to talk to you. You know, you've got a couple of friends and everybody's tuned in, listening in. They're enjoying it. It's all good. And I got you to promise me that you're going to be on the Radio Memphis load-in. And I got it. It's you know, it's like the rest of the planet heard it. So now you have to. So we're good.
You got it.
Well, look, sweetheart, let me tell you to have a fantastic day, okay? Enjoy your moment. And, you know, I'm hoping you and I get on the phone and we can chat some more. Maybe we can kind of collaborate on a couple of things. And let me climb into your world some more, okay?
Sure. Love to.
All right. Well, listen, you enjoy it, yeah, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon, babe.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Carlton Auto Services. And again, you know, with him being on the boat, you know, it was, you know, we were able to kind of, you know, get a couple of things, you know, and talk with him about his, you know, his insane career. And you heard it right here. Okay. What we are going to do, though, is that we're going to manage and finagle a way to get him back. And I'm going to let you guys know when I can actually get this scheduled in, but I'm going to make sure that he is part of the Radio Memphis load in show, the live 2 hour show that's dedicated, you know, to road crew and people behind the scenes. It happens once a month right here at radio-memphis.com on Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, from 10 midnight, you know, until, I'm sorry, yeah, that's right, from 10 midnight, you know, to midnight. And we're gonna dive into a little bit more of his career at that point, because there's a lot of things that he'll be able to share. There's a lot of tips and tricks and stuff. And of course, you know, those of you that were trying to get a little bit more insight, you know, from him, you know, he's gonna tell you, you gotta love it. You gotta love it if you wanna be in it. He is one to definitely follow, one to learn about if you guys wanna learn a little bit more. more, make sure that you actually, check him out. Carlton Audio Services, on Facebook, there's a way to get in touch with him there. You can also go to carltonaudio.com, and see some of the stuff and some of the events that they've been a part of. But in the meantime, I want to thank everybody actually, for tuning in to that Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Alert right here only on Radio Memphis. But for the rest of us, we are in the middle of Radio Memphis Around the World, and that means what? More music. So I'm feeling a little working class hussies, man, because that's what we do here. All right, going for a ride.
Mama, wave bye-bye.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.